Welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man. And this week, I am pissed. I am pissed off royally. Why am I pissed off royally? It is because we're going back to the Paracon panel episodes. And the one that I have ready for this week, that I have to use this week, is the panel titled Paranormal Inc. That's right. The folks from Paranormal Inc. are presenting their panel this week, and it's titled Paranormal Inc. And why am I pissed about it is because, well, they apparently believe in the paranormal. That's ghosts, poltergeist, demons, and a whole mess of other stuff. But, they don't believe in microphones. That's right, they don't believe in freaking microphones. Why do I say that? It's because they were in a room, a space that was over 3 football fields in width. It was over a football field wide and 3 football fields in width from back of the building to the front. And did they use the stinking PA microphone? No. No, they treated their panel like it was a freaking secret. That's what's pissing me off. They had a PA mic standing next to a podium that could be removed and around to where they were doing. No, they treated their panel like it was a secret. There were times I tried to boost their audio and couldn't. Because they refused to use the microphone that was provided for them by the convention itself. It was a PA microphone that they could have used to project their audio to the back. And Paranormal Inc. Incorporated, if you're listening to this show, by God, there's a microphone present at the next Paranormal convention you're at, use the son of a bitch. That's right. I'm leaving the whole aspect of not safe for work on this because I am that freaking pissed. You had the opportunity to use a microphone that was hooked up to a PA system. No, you didn't use it. Yes, there was maybe about 10 people in that audience. 10. But you were in a room that was over 300 foot square. There were people in the back of that room, that facility, that couldn't hear you because you refused to use a microphone. Believe in a microphone like you believe in the freaking ghosts that you hunt. If you believe in the paranormal in any way, shape, or form, and you have so-called evidence for it, guess what? I have evidence that microphones exist and that you should use them. That's right. I am that pissed. Use microphones if they're available to you. They're a benefit to everybody. If you're in a small little classroom, granted, you don't really need a microphone. But in the facility that you were in at the time, you needed a freaking microphone and you refused to use it. There were times that it seemed like you were whispering to the audience. That means anybody coming in the back or was watching you from the back of that facility, couldn't hear a damn thing you were saying. A damn stinking thing. This was an hour-long panel you put on. I cut out over 16 minutes of your stinking panel because I couldn't boost it that well with the software. I don't think any software could boost your panel and clear up the audio so people could hear it and understand it. That's number one. Number two, you had an hour-long stinking panel. An hour-long stinking panel, and you never ended it. Never ended it. every panel I've been either part of, recorded, or been at, when the panel was over, there was some sort of thank you everybody, good night, tip your waitress, enjoy the convention, see you around the show. You, we're going to continue telling you our paranormal experiences and showing you evidence right up until the next panel. When the next panel took over, she took over. But the difference is she used the PA freaking microphone, which meant the microphone I was using picked up what she was saying. I only clipped out maybe about 2-3 minutes from her panel. Why? Because that's when she was showing either footage or other things that she needed to present visually. You, on the other hand, 16 stinking minutes, because no way in stinking hell on this planet any audio equipment was able to pick your stuff up because you refused to use it. You had two people on your panel. Believe in the microphone. Pass it around like a bottle of beer or a joint. Use it like it's a lover or a hooker. Pass it around. Love it. It's there to use. Son of a... I mean, folks at home, if you're listening to this rant, I'm going to provide that panel for you the best way I can to show you how bad the audio was. I hope to the beings above and beings below, if they exist, you could understand what the presenters were saying in this panel. Honestly, if you could understand them, you're a better person than I am, because I tried to boost, tweak, take out noise, and clip the best way I could. And also, guys from Paranormal Incorporated, if you are presented with a microphone and you do finally come to believe it, that exists, let me put it like this. It's my pet peeve. There are more people out there that believe microphones exist. Hell, I'm willing to believe the flat earth argument more so than you guys tend to believe in microphones. If you use them to catch EVPs, certainly you could use them to catch your own damn blasted audio for a panel. So next time, use it, okay? Enough of my stinking ramblings in regards to your stinking panel that's you seemingly, even though you probably put on great and presented very well, for the main aspect of you forgot to use a stinking freaking microphone. So folks at home, I'm sorry that I'm yelling, but here is their audio in regards to their panel that they couldn't find. They found ghosts and entities and poltergeists and EVPs, but they couldn't find a stinking microphone that either we provided or the convention provided. So here is their panel. See you guys and gals on the other side.
For those of you that don't know us, my name is Ernie. This is my tech guy, Dave. We are co-founders of Paranormal Inc. And basically, start off, I'll just give you a 60-second bio about how we got into this. I started research in paranormal at a young age as a child, mostly based on like a religious aspect. As the years went by, my research led me to where I needed to start investigating. Okay, but that wasn't my primary function for doing this. It was more from the research standpoint. And I guess it was 1987 is when I had my first paranormal experience. Okay. I didn't really think much about it. And as the years went by, I continued researching. I had an incident that I experienced in 2004. And lo and behold, it was in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. So if anybody knows anything about Gettysburg, chances are you go there and experience something. Once I had my experience in Gettysburg in 2004, that's when I started investigating full time. Basically, what I was doing is 1 hour in my room, gathering my own information. I really thought I knew what I was doing. And I guess it was around 2011, I was asked to join a paranormal research team based out of Maryland. And we were all over doing residential cases, places like that we're in today. And last year, actually, next week, we'll be coming up on a year anniversary. I decided, I guess you could say for my best interest, to step away from the team. And I have recently gotten my partner Dave here in the team with us. And I wanted to pursue a solo project. So Dave and I spoke, and we consulted a few other folks, and that's where Paranormal came to life. And right now it's Dave and I. And we do. Basically, we just are doing residential cases. We've had a few good commercial cases where people have businesses and stuff. You know, feel something's there and have us come check it out. We've been currently traveling around. This is going to be a chopped up quick version of our seminar. Usually lasts about 2 hours. And basically, what we're trying to do is events like this, you have a lot of people that are what I like to call enthusiasts in the paranormal. They watch all the shows, they like all the equipment, and you know, they really don't know how to get started or exactly what steps. So we just try to help them along, basically. Everybody that does this, we're all in it for the same reason, you know, to find answers. Everybody wants to find that definitive proof that the afterlife exists. And what better way than to try to keep it going? You know, we recently hosted, for those of you that visited our table, you'll see that Mike came from Ghost of Shepherd's Towns with us. And we hosted, they had a paranormal camp for teens. And every year for a week, they take them all over the East Coast to different locations like this. And actually, the kids are actually really good investigators. I mean, they've grown throughout the years. And 2 weeks ago, we hosted the camp in Bainbridge, Pennsylvania. The lady next to our table from the Hall of the Mansion, she'll be speaking after us. We actually rented the Hall of the Mansion for the kids. And it was a great event. We got good evidence. They spent the day there. We got dinner there. We had fun. It was a good time. Now, when I'm speaking, I don't want to just stand up here for you guys at death. So anything you got, any questions, comments, concerns, anything you want to word out, please. That way we can keep it interactive and keep it going. Three types. I'm going to start with three types of points. Anybody at all want to speak up and tell me one of the types of haunts? Except for Mr. Holmes. Alright, the first type of haunt, residual. Does anyone know what a residual haunt is? A residual haunt, they don't even know you're there. They may not even know they're there. Okay, it could be any certain period of time, it's just going to repeat itself. You know, we've been on cases where we've seen something walk what would look like into a door, but there's no door there. You know, so they're like, well, why are they going that way? There's no door. Why would they walk into the wall? Well, you know, 100 years ago, it may have been a door there. And that's just their natural cycle, their natural pattern. Intelligent. Anyone know what intelligent means? It definitely won't be when they were out of exercise. Intelligent one is one that can interact with you. It definitely knows you're there. It's current. You know, when you see on the TV, you know, if anybody's here, I'm going to knock twice. Can you knock back? And it knocks back. Okay? So it's definitely aware of its surroundings. It's aware that, you know, you're there and what's going on. And the third one, poltergeist. Everybody's familiar with the poltergeist. That's Jason. Basically, what poltergeist is the strong spirits that can manipulate objects, move objects. Now, I don't know about, maybe you can help me with this, Anthony. Have you ever been on an investigation and seen like all the chairs stacked up and the refrigerator up on top of it, like in a movie? I don't know. But you get the gist of what a poltergeist is. That's the one that can manipulate objects and move the things around. And, you know, you put your keys down and go back and get your keys and the keys are gone, or you're sitting there and something flies off the, you know, flies off the table. Now, you know, with every, like I said in the very beginning, everyone is researching paranormal for the same reasons. Okay? At this point, everything is based on theories. Okay? And everyone has a different theory. My personal, now, you know, what I speak about, you know, I'm not saying it's right. It's just what I believe. It's theories that I study. Dave and I, we spend more time together than we do with our wives. And there's not a whole lot we agree on. But in my opinion, I think that's what keeps this field moving. You know, for example, you know, for any of you that have been married or with someone for a long time, I've been with my wife 25 years. And the only reason we've come this far is because of the arguments. And I think, you know, in my opinion, an argument is how you learn someone. Okay? And that's how you learn someone's differences, and that's how you grow from it. So I try to use anything that I can or experience in my life to put that knowledge into the world. And, you know, with everything being based on theories, I think that's what keeps it growing and keeps it moving. Now, like I said, a lot of the research I've done is from a religious standpoint. I grew up in a very strict Catholic home. I had an aunt that was a nun, uncle that was in the priesthood. And boy, they could tell you some stories, you know. And I was just so fascinated. And, you know, going to Catholic school, I always had an interest with the afterlife. You know, not so much proving that it existed, because in my mind, at that age, it existed. I just wanted to find out more about it. And, you know, everybody's question, or the main question, is when we die, what happens? You know, and that's what we're trying to, you know, bring a definite answer to. And, you know, as you see, like with a lot of the TV shows, like a lot of people ask us the question, all right, you were at this mansion or this house or whatever, and you believe you made contact with someone that had passed away 100 years ago. So for 100 years, you're stuck here in this room. You know, what happens? How do they, or what happens when they cross over? You know, you'll see a lot of the psychic mediums on the show. They guide them to the light, so to speak, cross them over. And, you know, my belief on that is, I do think that at some point in time, maybe a spirit doesn't know how to cross over. It's not that they did anything wrong and they're not being allowed to cross over. I think they just need to be guided. And, you know, I think that once they make that initial crossover, at that point, then they can come back and forth. Now, I've debated that with quite a few people, and everyone has a different opinion. But I just think that some people can automatically cross over, and some need to be guided. But once they cross over, they can come back. Now, the theory is that everyone knows that the spirit is energy. And the theory is that the spirit realm is right here. It's just with the time parameter, we can't see or hear them. That's why we use the equipment we use. Maybe some spirits are stronger than others. That's why you might catch that glimpse out of the corner of your eye. And what we've been working on is like a distance parameter or a time parameter once you do cross over. For those of you last year that saw World's Largest Ghost Hunt, basically what we did was, it was 150 teams and 17 hunters, and nothing was scripted, but we had a script of what experiments we were going to do. And the goal was all 150 teams do the same experiments, ask the same questions simultaneously around the world to try to gap that time parameter. I always like to joke about, you know, someone will call us to their house and say, you know, we live on this farm, and my grandfather passed away. I believe he's on the house. So we'll go there. I always like to research outside. You know, sometimes it's not the house. You know, it's the land or whatever. So I'll be out doing one thing and, you know, taking some readings outside. And, you know, the client will be like, well, wait a minute, that can't be my grandfather. Like, okay, well, we got here until it's 2 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah, but 100 yards back, you cross our property line. So I'm like, okay, so a spirit system, like, well, I'm going to hit the property line and stop. Yeah, so, good. Now, this is the one I had fun with. All your senses, okay? All your senses can be used when you're investigating a paranormal. Okay, just so happens last Saturday, we were doing a fundraiser in Gettysburg at a farm, and we were in the middle of absolutely nowhere, and we were going across the field and we come to a woodline, and three of us, and I've never met these other two people before, but we got an overwhelming smell of cherry tobacco, you know, and it's just one of the senses that you want to use. Now, my biggest thing is I like people that are skeptics. Okay, that's what keeps this industry thriving, is the non-believers. Now, my belief is even if you don't believe in the paranormal and something happens, eventually you will. But I think everyone has the ability to have an experience, but they just have to know what they're looking for or open themselves up to it. Now, I've spoken to a lot of people about issues that's not concerning the paranormal. And as they're telling me things that are happening, I'm like, man, I'm thinking to myself, man, you might want to have this house checked out. But they don't believe in this stuff, so they come up with some rational that really don't make no sense explanation. And the best way I can put what I mean is, I'm a 22-year veteran police officer. And, you know, based on what I've been through, what I've seen, what I've done, you know, for example, when I pulled into the gas station this morning to get some gas before I started my long trip down here, as soon as I pulled into the gas station, before I even got out of my car, I looked to see if there was any cars parked off in the shadows, who's in the store, you know, and it's not something I do on purpose. It just happens because I'm used to it. You know, when we go somewhere to eat, when I sit down, my back is always against the wall, and I always see the door. Now, I'm not expecting trouble, but I'm ready for it. And I think that, you know, when you get into the paranormal, if you know what to look for, and you kind of train your brain that way, you're going to have a lot more fun with it. You're going to have a lot more experiences. And you're going to figure out a lot more things. And using your senses is the best way. Like, for example, I'm not one of those people that sense things. You know, I don't walk into a building. By no means am I disrespecting anyone that does. I wish that I could. It would make it that much more exciting and I would gain that many more answers. But I don't feel anything. You know, I've had experiences where I've gotten sick, or, you know, I was on a case where I actually thought I was having a medical emergency, and I was like 5 hours from home, and they walked me out as soon as I crossed the threshold and went right away. But I have to, you know, it's either I have the proof or I don't. You know, I'm not going to feel people attaching to me and people following me. That's just not me. Now, for those of you that had the honor to meet Lori Johnson, I was speaking to Lori about several things, and she said that I have, based on a lot of phobias I have and my personality and a lot of my traits, that she does think that I have sensitive type gifts, but I just, whether it's I don't want to admit it or I just don't know how to use them. Okay. But the point I was making just yesterday, when Mike and Lori and Bob were back there speaking, I was back there for a while listening to them, and then I went up and sat at my table, the little fellow Desmond right there. And as soon as I sat down, I felt this real hard on my shoulder, because I was thinking to myself, why are you going to come up behind me and do that? So I flip around, and there was no one there. And Desmond asked me, I was like, what are you doing? And I was like, man, I'm just literally tapping my shoulder. Well, I was speaking to someone, I don't remember if it was yesterday or today, but they told me, without me even mentioning that story, they were telling me, you know, different things that go on around here, because we've never been here before. And they told me the same thing, that someone tapped down on the shoulder. So, you know, you just have to pay attention to some things. And before I turn it over to Mr. Siler, if anybody has any questions whatsoever, I'll try my very best to answer them.
Hello. Lori's told me, Amy's told me, my grandfather's told me, and my grandmother.
reviewing the evidence, when you're doing your evidence, you're doing several times, you're doing photos, you're doing videos, you're doing DVDs, you're doing, you know, flurries, different radar. What you want to do is you want to look at every corner of your evidence, every corner of your picture, every corner of the video, the frame by frame. Why? And then the pictures that are coming up, you'll actually see exactly why, but you don't want to miss it. So, you want to amplify the audio, because you may hear a whisper in the background. When we're doing our investigation, whether we're private or public, one of the things is we tell everybody to talk more. Why don't we want to whisper it on tape? Because, you know, 2 days from now, when you listen to it, and also, what do you think happened? Always talk, always back. Have a second set of ears, you know, pictures. Has anybody seen anything in that picture behind me? Look closely. Now this is what I was telling you about taking New Orleans, and I'll give you a little bit of history while you're looking at it. So my wife takes me to this restaurant down in New Orleans, and apparently there is a gentleman who lived there years and years and years ago. He was a gambler, he was a womanizer, you know, he basically was in the cult. He met his house in a week, lost his house, went into his seance room, which is this picture of, and put a pole in his mouth. So the people come out years later, now it's a restaurant. When they first opened it, plates are flying everywhere, cabinets are coming out, bread are dumped on the floor every morning when they walk in. So they actually set up a table that has bread and wine to appease the spirit. And I took this picture, you know, I took a couple other ones, and, you know, I was looking at this table, the waiter went up and went, oh my God, hold on. Manager comes over and he's like, you're right. Because he's emailing me that picture, he's positive my picture, because I'm not part of the investigator yet. I emailed him to the show what he said. Has anybody found him yet? Look in the mirror. There is a face in here, there's a man in a shroud looking around. The manager takes me back to that room and shows me multiple pictures all around the place in the mirror for this guy. They actually have a value. In one of the pictures. Orbs, I love those. Alright. What is going on? Energy. Let's start with the scientific side. Is there energy in the body? Yes, no. Can you destroy energy? No. I love you that. Okay, now let's go to the theological side. Okay. God says there's a heaven, yes. God says there's a hell, yes. There is a purgatory as well, yes. We know where heaven is, yes. We know where hell is. Heaven is in the right hand of God. Hell is in the depths of the earth. Where is purgatory? So now let's put the two together. If there's energy, we can't destroy it. And in Revelations, one of the things, it says that God will have a judgment day when all souls will be judged. So if your soul waiting for judgment, where are you at? You're hanging out. So why couldn't we find that energy to possibly communicate with? That's all I know about. Now, so you know, I'm a lay minister in the United Methodist Church. I've been certified. So I look at both sides, and it's very, very interesting that you can see from both sides. So orbs is the energy. So if you pull it up and see it, is that an orb or is that? Here's a way to look at the world. Two main qualities of the world. One, the flight path. If it's going one direction and goes away, it's most likely not. If it changes direction, it's most likely not. Second thing is how much energy is coming out. After this, I have to incorporate it because you guys will see, I have an orb that actually is going so brightly, it looks like a gold medallion. So, if you look, and I don't know if you see it, dead center of that doorway, you see a little dot in the middle of it? I took three pictures. Now, when you take three pictures, try to take three or more pictures every time. Because if you can see it once, see it another, see it another, it's most likely something that's there. Something that appears goes away, most likely you caught something. So, right in the center of this doorway, I was actually in the next way, I turned around and I saw a little African American voice standing in this doorway, looking around that left side. look at the windows, two faces. One looks like a young girl in a white dress. And we know that there's a girl named Anna who's at the Hall of the Mansion. And we also know a name named Jake. It looks like a little boy and a little girl when they're kind of very close. Did you guys see anything in these pictures? They, believe it or not, they're looking close and they're two separate pictures. This was taken by Melody and Melody and one of her friends at this was a private lunatic asylum that is definitely investigated in Pennsylvania. We got a call from the bishop who actually ran the place. They're trying to turn it into a homeless shelter. They want us to investigate. But if you look all the way in the hallway, it looks, you look up close, you see it looks like a nurse. She has an apron on, she has a full dress, plus she has a belt on with a hanging cross, and she actually has pieces up. In the second picture, when waiting, waiting for a click, she turned and looked at it. So always review your evidence very closely. So if you watch this video, you tell me if it's dust or is it an actual world. Was that dust? Yeah, remember I told you about the flight path. When I first watched it, I thought it was dust. Look at the picture. Look at the timestamp. We got more at 7:38:29. 7:49:35. Same path. So now if you think about it, is it a residual? And if you watch it, yeah, put all the videos up in the total 9 videos. Kept doing. You are absolutely correct. Right side, which is where this is at, is an eating area. There's a center of ironing boards, and then the left side was where they actually can do work, wash clothes, things like that. So we're completely underground, and not the only one in the building. Everybody else can go to different places. I have been static cameras on for 4 hours, and yes, go through all the schools. Yes, ma'am.
So, the rotation was
it time saving? It was within about 12 seconds of each other on each video. It was phenomenal. I just didn't have to know. Okay. This one is very true. This is the left side. Did you see where that bullet came from? I can do that again. It comes right out of the pillow. I've been on a 50-inch TV, and only my last 5 hours in the world is it comes out of the pillow. Not like it's falling down. This one, Miss Laura, who's up after us, will show you frame by frame. I did frame by frame of her. We're in the artifact room of Hallman Mansion. This was captured, and she'll give credit for a little bit that she took this. But they sent it to an HD bump. I put it on a 50-inch HD plasma, and I have lots of echoes that I can look at frame by frame by frame. And the 200-plus frames that I actually took, there's actually like 7 different frames as this goes by. Watch closely so you can see it. That actually is dust, you're absolutely right. I actually blew that up, I didn't bug that. Because if you look close, it has been in white, it doesn't move. But if you look, it just goes by. It's not a bug. So the more I come by with frame by frame on the next, you can see it is a little boy's head. This one is a trans-Alabama lunatic asylum. I don't know if any of you guys have been there. As I come towards the camera, watch the lower left wall. Right there. Can you see it? I'll try to stop it right here. So right about the left lower left side. I'll try to stop it. Happens. See it coming out on the bottom? Middle right corner where the light is on the left side. You see like something coming out of the wall. So what happens is go ahead and hit the mouse button right where it says, left mouse button. See it come out? We look at it on the screen, you're welcome to come do it after. It comes out of the wall and then goes back in. I've had several people do sour feet, look at it, it's not a little bit. is that's how you might watch the flight path. So watch the upper right first. We're in a private investigation, Ernie, just before this day. My officer said watch behind you. We'll keep an eye on you. I'm watching all of us at this point. Follow that. Keep your eyes on it. Still going to the right. Goes to the right where the basketball pit is, and then it comes out the bottom right. So it actually does 7 different changes in pace. Alright, audio evidence. Now, this one isn't called the management. So what's happening is right there, we've got a page going on, I'm not going to do the whole thing. If you want to watch it on our YouTube channel, we're the Home of the Mansion. Dream of Weather is taking this Mike's right. We're up in the attic, we do a thermal, it's 53 degrees. As that's talking about some things, and then what happens is the KT buries itself. That's a rep popular in the background, which is a set of about 20 people. So if you're up in the attic, temperature drops to 31 degrees during this video, and you can see your breath coming out. It felt like ice was working in your legs. And you can do the same thing, there's nothing here. We started asking questions, REM pops are answering the questions with yeses by REM. 18 minute video with just bizarre stuff. EVP, you've already learned to turn class A to EVP, not EVP. Does anybody really know what they are? Here's a full definition of what it is, but pull up Wikipedia. A Class A EVP is you can actually hear something. So without any additional filtering about any computer help, you pull up a recording and go, hey, are you here? Play it back to you. Yes, I'm here. That's a Class A EVP. A Class A EVP, you can turn the volume up, you have to adjust it. Are you here? So with that, Ernie's going to play something.
Just to set the stage real quick, every Halloween for the past few years, Miss Laura, who we meet next, she throws a Halloween party. And people come, it's an awesome party. The only thing that, you know, a lot of people come in and drink it. So we have the task of going in and entertaining 40 intoxicated people on a paranormal investigation. Now, anyone that has investigated before knows sometimes it's a lot of sitting, a lot of quietness, things like that. So, besides investigating, we got to try to keep everybody interested, you know. And with this particular group, it was a little bit louder, you know, because they were more giggly and all that with each other, and I'm trying to lead an investigation and make it exciting for them. And so what we did was, I guess it was, I don't know, 30, 40 people, and we were in a bedroom. I had them sit around the room. I stayed in the center with a recorder. And, you know, what I did was I said, my point to you, just ask for that. You know, one of the things we like to do as investigators, I hate the same old questions. You know, do you like being dead? Right. Who the hell likes being dead? You know what I mean? Yes. We find that we have better results. When you're doing an EVP, ask somebody, you know, what was your favorite sport? What was your favorite color? What did you like to do? Not just the same things over and over and over. So, we start asking questions, and behind us was another room, okay? And while we're doing the EVP, we actually heard footsteps in the next room. Well, everyone suddenly, yeah, kind of sobered up a little bit and toned it down a little bit, and you will hear our conversation turn to what was going on in the room behind us. Well, I'll let you know about when the EVP's coming in, and you'll know that we didn't hear it because we kept right on with discussing the footsteps. It was 6 days later when I was finishing up reviewing the audio that I captured. Now, the whole recording is like 8 minutes, but what I'm going to do is I'll let you hear the very first couple seconds to let you know where we're at, what we're doing, and then I'll skip ahead to the actual. hopefully you'll be able to hear it through this.
Don't blow. It's
Miss Dream of Weather, along with her. Now, demonology, this is the fun part. How many people have seen the demons on TV? Has anybody run into a demon? What do you do with a demon? If I can think right, run away. There's several ways. First of all, I tell spirits loud and proud, you're not welcome to come home with me. Alright? I am a lay minister. I'm protected by God, I already know that. But I would have to walk away and say, look, you're not welcome to come home with me, you're not welcome to come to my house, you're not welcome to come to my family. My soul is owned by God, and you cannot come with me. Thank you for all your time here. Stay here. That's my fault. And don't ever be afraid to ask for help or pity. So I appreciate all your time. You guys have any questions? Okay, so what happens is I'll put two mini magnifying glasses, one left, one right. They're staging. My cameraman who was there was new, did not know it. He started trying to take a video this way. So yeah, my cameraman had a little issue, but. And it was a half wall of trans-alligan. So if you ever go there down into the lobby area, there's like a half wall down there, right near where they did the patient operations. So I just put them up. And the first time I did it, I was there by myself. It wasn't video. And I was getting responses. I was like, oh, cool. So I called my cameraman, who was actually flirting with these two young ladies, and he wandered off with them. I'm like, Chris, help! And as soon as it got there, it stopped. And it was really bizarre, because one of the girls that was was like negative energy. Anytime she came around, everything stopped. So I finally grabbed him, she was away, and kept migrating back to that. Okay. So that was right at the end of the evening. I was sitting in the break room, I'm tired, an old guy. There's another guy there, I'm like, hey, dude, you want to take a walk with me? Come on. So I handed my camera. I said, okay, we're going to do the next plane. So he's going to. But I started asking questions, and they came on and off like clockwork. It's on the whole video's on our YouTube channel, and it's an awesome video. We have Dreamer's whole video up there as well. For like 18 minutes, we were getting reactions to the point where when the temperature dropped in there, they went down to 31. I mean, it was just phenomenal. That was a calm to imagine. Yet more Shari is coming after, and she's the permanent director of Formation. That's pretty much like our home base, unofficially. But I love Home Mansion because of how much she goes on there. You will never leave there without at least something. The spirits there are just very popular. They want to play, they want to hang out. They'll touch you, they'll talk to you, they'll play hide and seek with you, they'll move things, they'll set up your equipment. They'll really work. There's Indians in the very near for different tribes.
I think the majority of that taking the air to children.
Yes.
That's our best response. Yeah. The very first time I investigated there, I was with my original team. Our lead investigator, his name was Dave as well. I don't know if I'm getting stuck to these names, but so we were inside shutdown, and it was before Laura gave us the history of the place or anything. Well, Dave had his niece with him. She was like 12. And Dave was also a retired cop, maybe an active cop. Well, his niece said, does anyone have batteries? My camera guy. So, of course, we have a lot of batteries. And I gave her batteries, and she went outside. And it was just the sun was just starting to set. Well, she's outside, putting over her camera, and she comes running in, and you can tell something's wrong. And, you know, me being the smart guy I am, I looked at her and I said, you look like you saw a ghost. And she said, Uncle Dave, there's a little girl outside. Well, us being, we automatically go in the cop, we're thinking a little girl was lost, maybe wandered out of the woods or away from the tracks. So we put everything on hold and we go out there looking for this kid. So after about 20 minutes, we go back in and we meet with Laura. And giving us the history of the mansion, she described what they didn't see. And we also had used the Haldeman in the past to train new investigators. So we
was there.
All right. So we would use Haldeman.
Sure, yeah, she's.
We, we took two investigators there to train them on some equipment, but we didn't tell them anything. Okay, and they've never been there. Now, the one gentleman, his name is Ali, he joined the paranormal team because we accepted his girlfriend, who was real into the paranormal. The only thing was, the only problem we ran into was Ali was terrified of the paranormal. So we knew this was going to be an adventure. We were upstairs just outside Jacob's bedroom, and I was doing the spirit box session. Well, Ali jumped, and he goes, what was that little girl or whatever? He described the same thing that Dave's niece saw. He said she peeked around the corner, and when he looked, she ducked back down. Just as I eliminate the steps, there was a kid about this big. I seen half of his torso and his head duck around the wall like he was hiding.
Welcome back. As you can see by the tail end of that audio, I just got fed up and didn't make the attempt to boost anything or anymore or clip anything more out because I was frustrated. Again, I am sorry I yelled and vented at the start of this episode. So if you made it this far, thank you so much. And there's another thing I wish to cover. If I'm able to get the... we did get, finally, because we had the funds, a actual GoPro camera and an actual... kind of more of a top-of-the-line camera. It's not a DSLR camera, but it's close to it. It's a Sony DSC-H300. It's missing the mode dial. It can be, that can, from what I researched, it can be replaced. We got, it's a, the Sony camera is a hundred and, between $150 to $170 camera, depending on where you get it. We got it for about $60. So, and that little, surprisingly, that little mode dial replacement is $40 for just a dial. But either way, we got a GoPro. It's a GoPro 5. And the Sony are both pawn shop fine, so we finally got that, and we hit, oh, we broke 20,000 total downloads and listens. So thank you all of you out there for listening and putting up with my rants and ravings and everybody else's stuff that we've been putting out for the past 3+ years. And as per the GoFundMe campaign that's been out, even though I'll tag it in this week's episode, I'll probably be closing it down and restarting it, because though its initial run was to get a brand new computer and better camera equipment, like a GoPro and the Sony that we just picked up. The reboot of the GoFundMe campaign will be the aspect of helping keep the lights on, so to speak. That means the funds that we will bring in will go towards our $10, the monthly fee that we pay Podbean to host our episodes, our show, and other basic fees that we need and acquire for show use, maybe to go to put up a table at a convention or what have you, maybe some travel expenses if we're going taking a train someplace, and depending on how much we get in, we might filter some of that funds to the community. Case in point, we just got word earlier this week that one of the local shops in the downtown Martinsburg area, what happened was, the person owns, the proprietor, owns a Latino-based, Minute Mart type shop. It's a grocery shop, that sells, not only do they sell a lot of Spanish, Mexican and Latino stuff, they're also a kind of a small little grocery store or Minute Mart type thing. And what happened was the proprietor, on, I think it was like Thursday night, it was Wednesday night, she got robbed, and during the robbery, she got shot in the face. And one of the things that was initially put out, it was that she was shot in the head. I know this is graphic, but someone messaged me or commented on the post that I was tagged in regards to this, was that I hope she's going to be okay. And because I didn't know where exactly in the head or on the head she was shot at, my comment back to the initial commenter was that 95% of all folks who were shot in the head do not make it out alive. But in this case, apparently where she was shot in the head, it was serious, and she still is in essence serious / critical condition. But from what I was told the other day, she pretty much is recuperating in the way, meaning she is out. She's not really out of the woods. She is critical condition. But she is kind of on the positive side of recuperating, meaning that she's alert, she's responsive, she has the capability of writing a little bit. So that is, and what you heard was my phone going off. I do apologize for that. Like I said, she's very responsive. She's not out of the woods yet, but she is on the positive side of coming out of those woods. So things look very hopeful. So if you're the type of person that keeps others in thoughts and prayers, please do so. Or if you believe in sending good energy and good thoughts people's way, please do so. But I've heard word that there are going to be one or two GoFundMe campaigns to help pay for her medical expenses. And as soon as I find out GoFundMe, if there is one, I will be happy to share that, because as a lot of you know, I am a big supporter of local businesses, and I want to see this business still survive, and I want to see many people try to help keep this business in operation for a good long time afterwards. And I don't want to see another shop here in the Martinsburg area go the way of like an extinct species like the dodo or something like that. I don't want to see it go bye-bye, because with incidents like this, it's making Martinsburg have a worse and worse rap in regards to things that go on in downtown. And it's one of those things I want to see, and I want to help out in regards to things. So I'll keep all of you informed. Please stay tuned. The next week is going to probably be a Christmassy type story ordeal. And the week after that will be our better and last Paracon panel. So, that being said, and hopefully within the next 2 weeks or so, I'll be getting with Big Candy to see if he's willing to either A, Skype in, or come into in studio via the Daily Grind here in Martinsburg actually sit in and record. So I'll have to speak to him on that and to see what happens and hammer out details. But either way, stay tuned. If you care to email us in regards to anything, you can do so by sending us an email to longcoatmafia@gmail.com. We do have our Facebook page, which you could send us a message, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. We do have a Twitter account, and it is LongCoatMafia is our name that you could just type in and follow us there. And you could also follow us on Instagram by looking up LongCoatMafia. And what else? We do have a YouTube page. So, we do have a YouTube channel, and we're posting up videos. We're starting to do some more audio, video content. And please subscribe to our video channel, YouTube channel, because we might be doing some exclusive videos on YouTube as well as on Facebook. So subscribe to both. Links to our YouTube channel are in our show's description, as always. Plus, we don't have enough subscribers to change the gibberish that YouTube gave us. So you can always search Long Coat Mafia and our channel will come up. As per listening to our show, if you're listening to us on through a means like Apple Podcasts or Google Play Music, you can also listen to us through, and there's glitches or anything with iTunes or I should say Apple Podcasts or Google Play Music, please keep in mind we are also available on Stitcher Radio, Spotify, and the Podbean app. Plus, if you'd rather listen to us on your desktop computer or laptop computer, you can do so by using either iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, or our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And I always tend to recommend either the Podbean app or our main website, because you could download all our episodes going way back to the beginning. And that includes all our better audio panels. And you could also always click the links and all that. So please do so. Visit our website. Visit our YouTube channel too. And our Facebook page. We're always trying to post new stuff to everything so you can enjoy it. There might be a music video series coming out. We just posted the first one this past Saturday night. It's one that we've been working on for the past year getting footage for. And speaking of which, I think yep, he did. He reacted and he thanked us because we got a special song from a guest. Many moon like earlier this past 2018, and he said you could use it. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna record some footage at a lot of the shows that we go to and see what we could put to this song. And that's what we did. So check out our YouTube channel and our Facebook page and to see that video. Let's see what else. That seems to be about it. So again, stay tuned to our social media accounts. Links are in the description. Plus, as always, I will speak to you guys next week. And for those of you out there that rather listen to us on YouTube, all our shows are also posted up. Their audio only, but they are posted up to YouTube as well. So I do thank all of you for sticking with us for this past 3+ years. Let's see how far we could go. So see you guys and gals next week. I am out.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.